So today's going to be a little different because, you know, we keep saying church has got to be different. And what does God want to do? So even as I prayed about today, and whenever I'm struggling to get a sermon, I know something else more important is going on than just preaching a word. I know I need to discuss some things. I need to get people to understand what's really going on. And so today, we're going to talk about what is really going on. And I've asked Jeff. Jeff, you want to come? Because when I thought through all of the people who would know the history of America and who loved America and who also loved God, yeah, we need our chairs, I guess. Then I wanted to have this discussion with Jeff, because whenever I talk to him on the phone about stuff, like I listen to the news and I get all vexed up, and then I have to calm myself down, and I need to talk to somebody who understands my heart and God's heart and yet can talk this through with me. So, yeah, so you're on the spot, Jeff. You're up for it. Okay, so I wanted to give hope to people today, because if you're just looking at current circumstances and the bad reports, then people can get so caught up in that they don't recognize the bigger picture, and they don't recognize what we've already overcome. And so I want you to just talk about America.
Without crying?
No, with crying. I figured we'd need Kleenex. I have some.
Crying already.
I know. You love America. That's why you're up here. Okay. I love America, too.
So in thinking about it, you told me yesterday that you wanted me to come up here, and I was thinking about it a little bit. And the thing that's great about America is the struggles that are happening right now. Is that we live in a country that is of the people, by the people, for the people, according to Abraham Lincoln's speech. And it's possible for us, when we see wrongs as people, to address them against our government, which doesn't happen in many places in the world today. And in the history of the world, they just, you know, you just disappear. Or you'd go to a camp where they made you reassign the way you think, or, you know, your family was ostracized or whatever. So this is dividing us, and it is, and the thing that scares me the most about the division, there's two things that scare me a lot about the division that's happening right now, is one, that it's all very personal, and everybody is taking it as, you either believe what I believe, or and give it an adjective, a hater, a bigot, naive. And there's no long, right now in this current atmosphere, there isn't a debate for intelligent people to believe the opposite sides of our different side of things. But in the end, that's what makes the United States so great. I mean, we, right from the start, we the people, right from the start. Stop laughing at me.
And that's a big thing right there, because...
Yeah, and then the next thing.
We.
We the people, not the king, not the whoever's got the biggest army to overthrow, not who, it's we the people. And then the very next thing, in order to form a more perfect union. So we already recognize that we're going to constantly be trying to form a more perfect union. This wasn't right from the beginning. They said, we the people of the United States are going to govern ourselves, and we understand that there's going to be flaws and problems. So our attempt, our drive, our mission, the thing that's in front of us, is to form a more perfect union, and as an ongoing thing. And that's why I like the fact that in the United States, that not only can we worship and pray openly to God, but we can also go out into the streets and protest something that when we see something that is wrong, because we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, and that's just from the the first moments of the United States. And now, here's where I think God is in the middle of all of that, is that we the people, even though the white men, the white rich men that were writing that, that we the people, the aristocracy, if you will, of the time, didn't say we the landowners. They didn't say we the people who were born in the United States. They didn't even say we the citizens of the United States. It said we the people of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I think, was God putting blinders on them because he knew that in the midst of all of this, those people were already committing and being part of a horrible thing, affecting we the people. And they knew that. But they worded this in such a way that it included the slaves. It included them. It included the people that are just coming off of the boat from Ireland, who we hated. You know, it included those indentured servants from England it included the people that were sent here from Europe as criminals. It included, because they didn't say, we the aristocracy.
Which also proves the point of what we always say, God was built, America was built on godly principles.
Absolutely. And I think that's the proof right there, that these guys went home, and some of them went home to plantations where they had slaves. But they had just written, we the people.
Right.
And God knew that in less than 100 years, those people were going to be we the people. Those people were going to, we were, at the time that this was happening, we were still annihilating Indians across the country. We were going to do that for years. But God knew that they would become we the people.
So let me just say right here is it was, although it was God's intention that it would be unified and that all men were created equal. It says it in our Constitution. It was his heart for none of this to have happened. That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Right.
We have bad in our history. We have evil in our history, and we are not making excuses for that. So just so you hear our heart, we are admitting that there is wrong, which is why we have many times prayed and confessed our sins. I have stood before people of color and in the gap and ask them for forgiveness. We have had many, many prayer meetings. We have done everything. I remember when I heard about the Holocaust and I took a class on it, and I was so horrified. I couldn't wait to get out of the class to go find somebody of Jewish descent to plead forgiveness from them. And the gap, because I understood the horrors that man can do. And yet, I also understood something else, is that God formed us on Christian Judeo principles so that we could be an answer.
Oh, yeah. And I think throughout U.S. history, for sure, and that's what we're here to talk about, that there is instance after instance after instance after instance after instance where people were moving in a particular direction and saying things that they assumed they understood what it was.
Yes.
And it turned out God understood what they were saying, and he had a bigger vision for them.
Yes.
They were using the terminology of what existed that day, and God was using the terminology for the future. He was looking at it and going, I know when all of you rich guys, white guys are talking about we the people, you're thinking about you. But you're going to write it as we the people. And because 100 years from now, 200 years from now. And there's another thing, is that we created a constitution that has outlived every other constitution on the planet. This country is, as we found out yesterday, is 244 years old. That's nothing.
We're babies.
We are a baby country, yet this country influences every country on the world, in the world, on the planet. We have the In 244 years, we went from fighting a revolution with muskets and horse-drawn carriages against arguably the most sophisticated army in the world, to becoming the greatest military power in the world and the most technologically advanced. And by the way, if you look, what our military does most, okay, so
yeah,
the military that is designed to fight real wars, mm-hmm. right, where people blow each other up, the military that's the most sophisticated military on the planet spends the majority of its time, when it's not training, it spends the majority of its time training, but the majority of its time in humanitarian missions.
Why is
you
that?
You have an earthquake in Haiti, and it amazes me that by the time the TV cameras are turned on and they show, there's a Navy aircraft carrier where with a Marine unit in their harbor.
That's true.
Not there to fight.
And that's not even including the real purpose, I believe, of the United States was to not only bring freedom, but to proclaim freedom. And the real freedom comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the United States of America has funded the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world, right, more than any other nation.
Yeah, I look at it as if you ask anybody in the world, if you could only live in one country for the history of that country, what country would it be?
Right.
It would be the United States. Even if you're a black American today and you know for that first 100 years you're going to be in slavery. Because your posterity is going to be so far further in the country that we live in now. That doesn't minimize that by any means. It was horrible and never should have taken place. I mean, it was horrible. I just can't fathom the fact that what humans do to humans, the fact that we could put people into slavery. Even today, we put people into slavery.
I'm so sorry.
Sex slaves today. I mean, it just amazes me that we can put people in ovens because they're Jewish, that we could, it just amazes me what humans can do to humans.
But it's really a bigger picture. The bigger picture is that we always have an enemy, and the enemy isn't humans.
Always have
the
an enemy.
The enemy is the spirit behind what they do. And so there is a war going on, and there's still a war going on within the United States of America, because it is good versus evil. It is Satan versus the Lord. And so we have a tendency to always think of this in terms of humans, and that this is what is wrong, is that humans are inherently evil. But the truth is, without Jesus Christ, we are born into sin. But in reality, our positional authority and the way we have to see is from the perspective of the Lord, is that He has given us the ability to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. But when we fight this way, we can't win. If we're only fighting hand-to-hand combat, we're not going to win against the evils that has come against this nation. But when we fight for what God has said over America, what God has positioned us for, we fight spiritual battles. And so we fight it with Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle.
And one of the things I love about Liberty in this church in particular, well, I guess that is Liberty, in this church in particular, is the diversity in our sanctuary.
Yes.
If anybody who comes to Liberty, I mean, right here, we only have 10 people, right? Something like that, 11 maybe. And we have...
I'm sure it's 10.
We have represented here first-generation Haitians that live in the United States, born in the United States. We have people whose parents migrated here from El Salvador. We have... people whose histories are from the beginning of the United States, from Europe. In this congregation, we have people who came here from Africa to study and are now PhDs and doing research. We have, in this congregation, we have people from first generations from Cuba, first generations from Haiti, first generations. We have Canadians that come down here when it gets too cold up there. I mean, it's always cold up there, but when it gets too cold up there, that come down here. We have Democrats and Republicans. We have
yep.
independents. We have conspiracy theorists and people who've never seen a conspiracy in their life. We have everybody here.
Yeah.
We have everybody here, and we're all friends. I mean,
yes.
We have people that come and go, but for the 100 or so that are core, we're all friends. We're all, you know, we care about each other. We watch each other's backs. We watch each other's children grow.
How do you think that? Why is that?
I have a black
possible?
Son. So
you do have a black son. That's
and
true.
I have that because of Liberty. I have Freddie because of Liberty.
That's
and
true.
And I mean,
yes.
I don't know what else to say.
So why is that possible? Why have we made that possible in this atmosphere?
I think because you teach constantly God's view of humans, that you tell us that our battle is not with each other, it's in the spirit. So even if there is conflict, and even when we have problems individually and as a group, we recognize it as a spiritual battle and not as a battle with the individual. So I one of my dearest friends, who I'll just leave anonymous for now, is a big time Democrat, where I tend to fall big time on the other side, and he's one of my best friends. And where there have been times during political seasons where we've had to consciously say, we can't talk politics, although both of us love to talk politics, and that's all
true.
We want to do. But we've learned that our friendship is more important than the politics that we're going to debate.
Amen.
And our friendship is where we see further than the politics of the moment, in that we can just understand that we'd rather be friends than to never speak to each other again because of some political things happening right now.
Well, I think that's an important point, is that we can't be polarized because we have different choices that we make. And this is what people try to do, is they try, before one person is done with what they're going to say, they're already plotting what they're going to say back, because they're not going to change their mind.
Right.
And if you never change your mind, you have to always be willing to change your heart. So your heart has to be the motivation. God's heart has to be the motivation. The bigger picture is always God's picture. The bigger picture is always going to be how we respond to Him. And He said, love one another.
Right.
He said, love me first, and then love one another. And so if we keep that as the foremost in our hearts and in our minds, and we want to honor God with what we do, then we cannot choose sides that will divide. We can have our opinions. You can decide who you're going to vote for, but you better let God be the deciding factor. Which, when they ask Him, how many times should I forgive? Jesus said 70 times 7, which means to infinity. So if we are going to live biblically, we have to
forgive.
We have to live a different kind of life.
And that's in what's happening right now. There's a lot of not forgiveness. There's and you see it all over the news, is that there is a lot of hatred bubbling up. And hatred is not of God. This is of the enemy, clearly.
Hello.
Clearly, hatred is of the enemy. And in this time, there's been even friends of ours here and family members of mine where they have acknowledged that they have gotten trapped in this and have gotten so far in one direction or another that they feel themselves hating.
Ooh.
And they finally, there comes a point where you've got to go, ooh, you know, God didn't make me to hate.
Right.
And so if I'm feeling hatred, I mean hatred, most of us never really know what hatred is in our whole life. We say things like, I hate that, but really, you know, I don't hate the Jets. But I'd say I hate the Jets, but I don't hate the Jets. They're just a football team. What am I going to hate about the Jets? When we really feel it, when people start to really feel hatred, they are trapped. And if they can't see God's love, every Monday morning we have a little prayer group on the phone, and inevitably every Monday morning on that prayer group on the phone is somebody asks that we see people the way God sees them this week. And this has been going on for years. So it just didn't start happening during this current tension. This has been going on for years. And inevitably on that call, somebody prays for our eyes to be open to see the way God sees the people around us. And that's everybody around us. Even the people I disagree with, I want to see them the way God sees them. I want to be able to walk away and go, okay, I may be upset with you for the moment, but I am not going to let this long-term kill our relationship. Can't. You can't. And that's the United States, in that we have the ability in our Constitution and in our being to correct wrongs, right? The Civil War was fought to preserve the Union. A consequence of that was the end of slavery, chattel slavery in the United States. So it wasn't fought initially to end slavery. It was fought initially to keep the Southern states from leaving the Union. But very quickly it became, oh, while we're at this, let's fix a wrong that's been happening for 100 years.
Yes.
Let's correct this.
Yes.
And we're going to fight that. And then the 60s and civil rights, it clear. Women didn't have equal rights with men. Minorities didn't have equal rights with majority. But we have a way to correct that. And if our government doesn't do it, then we rise up. And if enough of us rise up, our government does it. Because it's the government of the people. So this is a country that was born in conflict. I mean, and has been. You read me something today that I was very surprised about. But thinking about it, I went, yep. And that somebody had sent to you. And that was something to the effect of, if you were born in 1900.
Yeah.
And you lived to be 75, you lived through two pandemics, one of them that killed 50 million people in the world, the Spanish flu, two world wars that killed over 60 million people. You lived through other wars that killed tens of thousands of people. You lived through, if you lived in the 20th century, you also lived through the greatest technological advances in human history. You also lived through...
Yes.
The greatest number of people living under freedom in human history. You also lived through. We tend to focus on all those horrible negative things, but I remember sitting with my great grandmother
when I
was like 10 or 11 or 12. She lived way into her 90s, and she told me once, and it still blows my mind, that she remembers reading about the Wright brothers and she watched a man step on the moon. In her lifetime, from the time she was a little girl to the time she was an old lady, we went from just learning how to fly to standing on the moon, putting a man on the moon. The United States.
Unbelievable.
The United States. If you go and look at another thing that's really great about the United States, and this isn't the only, here's the thing. A lot of people think that because of the way I feel about the United States, I don't believe there are other great countries out there and that other countries don't do great things. That's not true. Mm-mm. I happen to be an American. I believe in the Constitution of the United States. I believe in the Declaration of Independence to my core. And I believe in the philosophies that were put forth by it. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. I mean, come on. That this is what you want your country to be, right? So it doesn't mean that I don't think that other countries don't produce great scientists and great athletes and great thinkers and great societies. I think that more of all of that has happened in the United States in the short period of time that we've existed because of that Constitution, because of what we were built for, because I believe personally that God created us for this thing. And that doesn't mean that, great scientists aren't in Germany. It means that great scientists were in Germany and then Germany elected Hitler. And then we had the Second World War and we grabbed up all the great scientists and brought them to the United States and they didn't want to go back. It means that we have, people in our congregation that come here to the United States to get doctorates and do research, and because you have the freedom and the ability and the finance and the attitude of the people and an economy, and you have everything humming together, not perfectly, but everything humming together better in the United States for a longer period of time than anywhere else in the world.
So that takes me to thinking about the Tower of Babel, where when the group of people put their mind to do something, they can do it. But the reality was, God said, I'm going to confuse their languages because they have to be separated because they could do this. But when now God has ordained something for America to finish, He birthed us and He wants us to accomplish something. And so the power of the enemy has come to bring division. He has come to divide us and to cause this great divide where no one can come back to the real center of why we are born. Why is this? So inside each one of us, and I believe that's why the people who came and birthed the United States of America and went through hardship was because they knew they were birthing something that was beyond them. They wanted a legacy that wasn't going to be maybe even felt in their actual lifetime. But they knew that it was worth them laying down their life in order to accomplish and to have a place where every man could understand that they were created equal and every person had an opportunity to rise into their positional authority, which I believe is from God.
Well, and think about this. Not so long ago, the Ottoman Empire was a huge force on Earth, and the seats of great learning was in the Middle East. I mean, the greatest universities were in Iran and in the Middle East, and nobody's flocking to Iran to learn anything right now because you probably get killed while you're there if you're from the West, no matter why you're there. Right. So where do you flock to? You flock to freedom. You
right.
flock to freedom.
But is our freedom in trouble right now?
I think that there's always, my short answer is no. This is what freedom is. This is what it looks like. My fear is that there are freedoms that are going to go away. One of my biggest fears is religious freedom. One of my biggest fears is that freedom to be we the people and to live free in the United States, I don't think that's in danger of going away. I don't think we're going to scrap the Constitution and say, hey, let's
start over.
Let's be somebody else. Let's mm-hmm. hire. Let's bring a dictator in like Russia's doing, or let's, you know, have a Politburo like China, or let's, you know, these are huge countries that have the bulk of the population of the world, flop India in there. So I'm not afraid of that kind of freedom going away. I am afraid of freedoms going away. And I am very afraid that right now, with what's happening right now, that between the coronavirus and this pandemic that we're going through currently, and this attitude of revolt that's happening at the same time, the result, our political leaders are going to try to appease people, and the result's going to be the taking away of some freedoms. And one of the freedoms I think that is going to be lost or diminished is the separation of church and the federal government, the separation of the recognition that we have the right to believe what we believe and to operate our churches, our synagogues, our everything. But it seems like in the United States we like to attack Christianity. That we believe that the people, the government is gonna whittle away at our freedoms. I think it's already starting to happen.
Well, they just said that in California they said you're not allowed to worship in church, and you're not allowed to worship in church.
And so,
what do they think we are?
Right, and so a lot of people are going to look at that, and this is how it whittles away. A lot of people are going to look at that and say, well, that just makes good sense because we're in a coronavirus, and this is temporary, and it's just the governor going, I'm trying to keep crowds from happening, as he goes out and protests without a mask. But in New York, the governor the same day said in different speeches, or the same couple days in different speeches, said, isn't this great that this protesting is going on, and look at all the people who are, there's no social distancing going on, and maybe, let's say half, let's even give them the benefit of the doubt, 60-70% are wearing masks, but there's no social distancing going on in giant crowds that are screaming and hollering at each other. Oh, but you can't sing in church. You can't have a gathering in church. Mm-hmm. You can't have a, and a lot of people are going to be lulled into, yeah, but that just makes sense. The problem is that the government should be telling us what we should do, but there's a separation between the church and the state, and the church should decide what it's going to do.
Well, the bigger picture, as we had talked about before, what is that people are looking at this as though this is the real problem, when in reality, there's a bigger picture going on. The people don't tend to go there. We just think that if we hold tight to these things,
those two shall pass.
Right. But in reality, we know as Christians that there is a battle going on for Christianity in America. We remain silent and we lost the ability to pray in our schools. If we remain silent and we don't know why we're here, then we forget that we can win. I for one, am not giving up on the rights in America, but that's because I trust in our God, because I know what he's called us to do, and we're not finished yet. People have all of these opinions, and there's prophets out there, and they're prophesying one way or the other, the extreme to the other. It's just the same thing. And prophets are prophesying doom and gloom, and that, you know, by the end of this year, we're going to all be, like, in derision, and there's no hope for America. And then on the other side, we have people that are proclaiming this is our greatest hour. And so how do we as Christians respond to all of this? And it's not just about America. This is a fight for Christianity and our ability to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that will make me, you know, we watched Hamilton. We went to go see Hamilton, you and your wife and I, and it was so good. And it was like, I'm not going to miss my shot. Is that how they said it? I'm not going to miss my shot. I'm not going to miss my shot. And that was from the very beginning of who we are. We need as Christians to understand this is our shot. This is our shot to secure who God has created us to be, and they are not taking America down on my watch. They're not taking America down on my watch. They're not going to be able to take it down on your watch, because we have unity in this house to say no to the devil.
Well, and we have a bigger picture. We have the kingdom of God.
Picture.
We understand a bigger picture. Interesting fact that I learned a few years ago was that, you know, we always quote that the purpose of public schools. Now, the United States was pretty much the only country in the world that had public schools, that thought everyone should be taught how to read and write. And it used to be that only those people in power and their kids really even needed to know how to read and write. Why would anyone else need to know how to read and write? But in the United States, we always say that you know, public education was born in the United States. But what we don't say is that public education, the initial schools in the United States, in New England, the initial schools, the first schools, were to teach the citizens to read the Bible.
Ha!
So that they would be able to judge the morals and the character of the politicians that they voted into office.
Come on. Well, and if without you, the word of God, how? Oh, how? How do we, even as a Christian nation, who call ourselves Christians, how do we neglect the word of God? Because if we don't have this as our guide, then we don't even have the foundational truths of God right. that he wanted us to have in this union. But for we only need a remnant.
Right.
We only need a few.
But we need a few that are strong prayers.
Hallelujah.
We need some prayer warriors. We need people that understand that the way forward is in the Spirit. We need people that understand that the way to interact with our fellow human beings yeah. is found in the Bible and through the eyes of Jesus. We have to know that it's okay to turn over the tables, but still love them and forgive them.
Right.
You know, it's okay to, I mean, it's just, remember, Jesus healed the ear of the soldier that came to take him to the cross because, you know, this wasn't what you're supposed to do. You can be mad at him. But that's not how you handle it. This is
and
a spiritual battle.
And as he was
battle.
Dying, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them.
Forgive them, right.
They don't even know what they're doing. And so yeah. his heart was always reconciliation. This is a big thing that we need to know in America right now. The Father's heart is always for reconciliation. He people that are speaking, you know, the judgment of God, how could God not judge? Come on. I just have one word for that, Holocaust. I mean, if he was going to judge anything at that time, certainly he would have destroyed those that were destroying his own people. But God is a God of goodness and mercy and reconciliation, and his heart is always to give us a chance to turn around. Always to give us a chance to turn around. But where are the Christians that are gathering together and with one heart, one mind, and one voice to cry unto their God right. for the strategies?
Strategies, wisdom. For the wisdom,
have
the
to
strategies,
have it.
For the vision, for the, it's just.
See, we're allowed to discuss it, things. Yeah. We're allowed to have our own opinions. But ultimately, as Christians, God's opinion has to be the ultimate.
You would think. But we are all human, so every now and then our own opinions get in the way. Not mine
well,
personally,
and there
of
we go. Not you. Oh, my. How many times have we sighed? but we can appreciate someone who takes a stand, because if you will not stand for anything, if you will not stand for something, you will fall for anything. Right?
Yes.
So if right now, if Christians won't see the need to stand, if we won't stand now for God and his principles, then we will fall into all the traps that are being laid out by the enemy to cause us to go down into his area where we are trying to fight spiritual battles in natural means. Right. And we will not win if we don't see this as what is going on. Okay, now I'm going to talk about Hannah.
This was page one.
I'm not going to go long. I don't know how that happened. Okay, I won't, but I have to give now.
So I'm going
to
go sit down there now?
You may.
Thank you.
So you don't have to feel uncomfortable. Okay, so we have to understand this from what God has given us. Now I'm going to have to stand because I need my papers here. All right, so I've been teaching on the names of God and how important it is for us to know his names and apply his name to every situation that we come across. And so I was teaching on Lord Sabaoth, and I looked up the reference for, you know, God, when they wrote the Bible out, they just said the Lord. They just said the Lord, or they said God, or whatever. So if you really want to know who God is revealing himself to in the moment, you have to go back to the original text, and it'll say something like Lord Sabaoth. And you'll find out that it means Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. Or it will say, El Shaddai. Or it will say Adonai. I mean, there's so many names of God, and they all show the characteristics and the attributes of God. And so I was going to teach on Lord Sabaoth. And as I did, it gave me the reference of Elkanah and his wife. Well, he had two wives, but Hannah in particular. And so it's found in 1 Samuel. And Elkanah was, he had two wives, and one of them was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. So Peninnah had lots of children, and Hannah didn't have any. She had none. And so she appeared to be barren. She appeared to be unable to reproduce. And so to them at that frame time in history, that was like a horror to every woman. They knew that they were to reproduce. And I want to tell you that that is what we should be in horror as Christians. I'm turning this to our situation at present. If we don't feel that we have a need to reproduce after our own kind as Christians to reproduce godly seed. And so her name itself means to favor, to beseech, to pray, to make supplication. Hannah's name means to make supplication. And if we ever needed to make supplication, we need to make supplication now. We need to pray. And so her husband went up every year to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm thinking to myself, this is just some guy. This is not David. This is not David who you would expect to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts, the mighty in battle. You would think that it would be David, or it would be someone that was a commander of an army. It could have been Barak, but no, here's Peninnah, and he has something that he is calling on his God by the name of the Lord of hosts to do, and all I can find in the word that he is battling against is depression and oppression and for his wife. Okay, so in verse 4, he said, whenever the time came to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion because he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Now, she was unable at the moment. She was unable at the moment to reproduce because I believe God was doing, working something on the inside of her that would cause her to be able to get past her current situation and what the circumstances were screaming to her, and to go to her God and call upon him for him to rectify the situation. Because he wanted someone. God was looking for somebody who would birth somebody who would change the world at the time. He was looking for somebody who would pray to bring forth the right answer that the world had need of in the moment, and he couldn't just give it to anybody. He had to choose somebody that was hungry. He had to choose somebody that was passionate. He had to choose somebody that said, listen, God, I'm coming to you, and that's what she did. Now, he had made the sacrifice to Lord Sabaoth, but when Hannah went herself into the sanctuary herself, she prayed. Okay, let me find it. So Hannah rose early. This is verse 9. After they were finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord of hosts, and she wept in anguish, and she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, O Lord Sabaoth, mighty in battle. you come and war for me. And if you indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and you don't forget me, but you give me a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And she made a Nazarite vow. No razor shall come upon his head. You know why? Because she, all she knew that could change the situation was to call upon the Lord. And I'm here to tell you today that America has challenges, and they could or could not be overcome. And it will depend upon someone. Someone who said, I'm not going to miss my shot. I am not going to let this moment go by without me doing my part. And I'm going to quit fighting this way. And I'm going to call upon the Lord of hosts, the one who is mighty in battle, the one who can come and rectify. And when he gives me my request, and when he provides for me, when he is the one who changes things, I am giving back to him everything that I received. You see, because it takes a heart that is willing to say, everything that we have in this life, every moment that we have, is for us to benefit other people. It's up to us to benefit generation to generation to generation, and no one person could ever do this, but she had a heart and she had a passion to reproduce after her own kind and to bring forth someone who would have a voice, who could bring what needed to happen for a nation. And God is calling on Hannahs today. He is calling on those people who will pray and will go into the sanctuary and will call upon the name of the Lord and will call upon the Lord of hosts, who will battle. He will battle on our behalf, and he will bring forth those who will speak forth truth. And when she had her son, and she did, she named him Samuel, because she said, I have asked of him from the Lord. And then when she went up, her husband went up, and he went up to give the sacrifice every year. And she says, I'm going to stay home because I'm going to wean this child. I'm going to spend time with him. And she embraced this child. She raised this child. She held him close to her bosom. She held him. She reproduced him. She prayed over him. She knew that there was something inside of him that was going to bring change. And she knew that at some point she was going to have to trust the Lord of hosts in order to protect him. But he was going to bring forth that which was necessary. And so her husband said, okay, stay home. Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only this. I'll go along with all of that. But this I'm going to say. And her husband said, let the Lord establish his word. Establish means let him accomplish it. Let him decree it. Let him strengthen it. Let him perform it. Let it stand up. And so the Lord Sabaoth was going to establish something through the seed that was given. You see, we have to understand, as Christians, we have the seed of Almighty God. As people, we have been made in his image and in his likeness. We have his DNA on the inside. And we don't have his DNA on the inside for not anything. We have his DNA on the inside because we have a purpose. We have a destiny. We have something that we're supposed to accomplish. And America has something that it's supposed to accomplish. And it is not accomplished yet because we have not seen the revival of the souls that has been prayed over and spoken over and declared. And unless we stand up, and unless we pray, and unless we intercede, and unless we become the people that are willing to birth that, God said revival is coming, but he said it will be a personal revival first before it is a corporate revival. And in the meantime, the body of Christ is fighting on the ground. We're fighting this way. We're fighting this way. We're making our opinions be made known as though that is the most important thing, is what side you're on. I am on the Lord's side. And we have to be on the Lord's side. And we have to decide that in our hands could be the fall or the rise of America to take her place and bring forth the biggest revival that the world has ever known. But it will start with you. And you have a responsibility. It is up to your decision. And it's not about what you pick politically or what your stand is about our past. It is about our stand for our inheritance and our legacy and who we are and what we're supposed to provide. Oh, hallelujah. So when she weaned him, when she had spent time with him, when she had poured into him enough, you know that God is crying out for people to have a heart for souls, for discipleship, that our eyes need to be on eternity, that we have to be looking forward to a legacy. Our forefathers unknowingly or knowingly wrote that constitution under the anointing of Almighty God, proclaiming things about this nation, that all men were created equal, but they also believed that everybody had an opportunity to be what they were supposed to be. Well, I have news for you. You are called by God, and you have an opportunity to be who He has called you to be, and you are called to be a soul winner. You are called to reproduce after your own kind. You should be so hungry right now to pray. You should be burdened right now to pray. You should be calling on God to come in our time of need to the Lord of hosts to fight this battle, that we can bring forth people into His kingdom. Because let me tell you, we have a king that can never be replaced. We have a king that will always sit on the throne. It doesn't matter what the kingdom of darkness wants to do. We belong to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has a purpose. And the kingdom of God's purpose is to reproduce. The kingdom of God's purpose is to get more people into heaven than go to hell. And so it's time for us to establish. Now when she weaned him, she brought him into the house of the Lord of Shiloh. Because guess what? Her and her husband both understood seed time and harvest. Both of them understood that when you're making petitions before the Lord, you have to come with a seed in your hand. They believed that the harvest wasn't just for them. They were not saying, you know, make me rich. They weren't saying, produce all of this. They were saying, let me understand the necessity of reproducing after my own kind. And let me give back to you, God, what you have entrusted to me. And here's where the church has failed. Because there has been already so much stolen from the church. There has been people that have said and spoken and cursed the church. The next generation, we're losing the next generation. They're never coming back to church. Well, I got news for you. I see a few of them sitting right here today. And I'm going to tell you, they are asking hard questions. And they are taking it on in our youth. And they have asked them, write down all the hardest questions that you have. And they are proven by the word of God. These are brilliant people. The people that hold the future. The ones that want to know about God. The ones that want to know how He thinks. The ones that want to know how they handle situations. And we are answering their questions. And they are getting, they come up with the answers themselves. They are talking it out. And they are brilliant in their understanding of who God is. Because they have been raised and they have been weaned and they have come into their own now, and they are beginning to reproduce after their own kind, and generation to generation to generation, it will not stop unless we don't reproduce. Unless there is a people who is so busy looking at what is going on in the natural that they forget to look at their supernatural God and put their trust in Him. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. she said to the priest, Eli, and for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And they worshiped God there. Now, here is a woman who understood a bigger picture. Here is somebody who said, if God is bigger than my situation, if he is bigger than the circumstance of what I hear going on in the United States of America, if there is a war going on, if there's something closing up my ability to reproduce righteousness, then I have to become aware of what it is that is stopping righteousness from being reproduced. And when we as a church repent and pray for not leading our children, not leading generations, not holding them, not reproducing after our own kind, not reproducing in other people, not causing a revival to come forth because we have not spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And until we say, God, we need you to come. We need you to war. We need you to put inside of us, birth it through me. Let me be one that cares enough that I will spend whatever time it takes with you in order to bring forth that which will change a nation. And that is where we are. In the natural sense and in the spiritual sense, God is looking for people who will not back down, who will not give up, who will not hand over America, who will not stop our ability to spread the gospel all over the world, who will not give up on the prophecies that have gone before us and said there is going to be a revival. A combination of revivals, everything that was good out of all the past revivals. This is what he told us this year, that he's going to gather all the good things from those revivals, and he's going to bring forth something that is bigger than anything we have ever seen, and that is the word of the Lord, and that is what we are birthing if we are a person of prayer, if we are a person that says, I don't care what it takes, even if I have to give you back everything you've given to me, I have something of a legacy that I'm looking for. It's bigger than me. I'm making history. I'm going to reproduce people who will carry on the gospel of Jesus Christ after me, that is going to look better than me and do more exploits than I ever did, because that is what the Lord has in mind. Hallelujah. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. She lent him to the Lord. Everything that we have is really not ours. Everything that we own should not be ours. We have this. We did this. We got that. No, everything we have is what God has granted us the ability to utilize, to multiply in the spirit, and to cause more people to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the end result was this. Samuel grew. 1 Samuel 3:19. And the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. And the Lord is with you. 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 And he let none of his words fall to the ground. When God said that this was a year where he is going to bring forth something, he said, it's you and me and you. And he said, when it's just you and me and you, it gives zero capability to the enemy. That is exactly what he meant. But where are you and him? This is a personal revival before it's a corporate revival. And you have to say, am I one with him? Is that where I am? And none of your words. It's also the year of the Lord, the word of your mouth in the Hebrew letters. It means mouth. It means what we say. The Lord has brought us into a place where what we say means everything. Because what we release out of our mouth, God is not going to let it fall to the ground. So what are you releasing? Who are you releasing? Are you empowering the power of God to be released? Are you empowering the enemy to be released? Because there are only two sides that come out of your mouth. And so you've got to choose. You've got to think past today. You've got to think into the future. You've got to think into who will be history makers. You've got to ask God to come and awaken our ability to reproduce after our own kind. A movement that will lead people to God, not to a personality. God, forgive us for being led around by a personality. We're either led by we hate them or led by we like them. Forget it. Be led by God. Be led by God. Be led by righteousness. Be led by salvation. God is going to have his way if he has a people that will do it his way. And so with all of our ability and everything that we try to do, we can only depend on him. But when we go to the source, when we go to the sanctuary, when we go to the place of being sanctified and letting him wash over our mind and letting him wash over our inner being and letting us see where we've made mistakes, let us repent. For the mistakes that we've made, let us repent for the mistakes of our fathers. Let us repent for the mistakes that are happening even today. But let us forgive. Let us forgive. And let us move forward knowing that the things that are more important right now are the things that we are supposed to bring forth. Not that which was going on hand-to-hand combat, but that which is conceived by God. That is that to be birthed by God. And God has never changed his mind about America being a reproducer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor has he changed his mind about us being compassionate lovers of other people. And so we have to, first of all, recognize what the problem is. We're barren. We've been barren. The church has been barren. Recognize it. Own it. Repent of it. How many people have you led to the Lord this year? How many? Okay, well, we have the coronavirus. I can't talk. Yes, you can. You have a phone. How about last year? How many people did you reproduce after your own kind? How many? Can you count them? Because if we're being the body of Christ as he has ordained us to be, that would be innumerable numbers. The second thing is we have to call upon the one who can win the war. And we cannot win this war this way. We can only win this war that is happening in America this way. And then we have to offer up to him a sacrificial offering. What are you willing to give? What are you willing to give to God? What is it that you have to give to him? We hold on to stuff so tight. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to listen to God if it's going to cost us something. We don't want to give of our substance. We don't want to give of our time. We don't want to give of our gifts unless we're going to get something back for it. But that is not God's heart. God says, give me a sacrificial offering that's going to cost you. Hannah didn't want to give. Can you imagine? You know, she never got to be with her son again unless she saw him in the temple. She had to go hand him over to a priest that had proven he didn't know what he was doing. She had to trust the God that was on Samuel, that no matter what the circumstances looked like, no matter what position he was in, he was born and birthed to bring forth the word of the Lord, and none of his words were going to fall to the ground, and she had to put her trust in God, not in man for that, because Eli was failing already, and he ended up failing because he didn't know how to reproduce after his own kind. But she put her trust in God. And it's time, church, to give a sacrificial offering and come before our God and say, I don't care what you want me to do. I don't care what the offering cost me. I don't care if it's something that's going to break my heart. I don't care. I don't own what you have given me. I am birthing something that really belongs to you. And you can do with it what you have need of. The next thing you have to do is dream beyond yourself to bring forth a legacy. I'll never see, unless the Lord comes, I will never see the end of the legacy God has had me already see. You see, it's too big for me to do. It's too big for me to accomplish. Your legacy is too big for you to accomplish on your own. What God has placed upon your heart to reproduce, you will never be able to bring it forth without Him, because you're going to have to make somebody else be just like you. I am a product of people pouring into my life with the truth of God's word, praying in the spirit, people that have trained me, people that have spoken to me, people that have believed in the God in me, and then they let me go, and sometimes they push me out of the room. Go, do it, whether you feel like you can do it or not. Yesterday I was at my pool. I was trying to enjoy my family, and somebody else called me, another part of my family, and said, "Mom, get on the phone right now. I'm going to hand you this person. You don't know who they are. Prophesy." I said, I have a swimsuit on. I'm outside. I'm looking at kids. I'm in the middle of do it now. I'm like, hold on. Go in the house, pray in the spirit, prophesy to people. Because what God has given me as a gift is not mine. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the people that are receiving it. When are we going to get this memo? We don't get to pick and choose when it's convenient. We don't get to pick and choose when it's going to benefit somebody. Somebody is calling on the phone and they have need of a gift that lives on the inside of me. My gift is on demand. Do your part. Do your part. Your part may not be the other person's part, but what is your part? Find out. Do your part. You know, it took a whole bunch of people in the right room at the right time to form the union that we now live our freedom by. It took 12 people that was poured into by Jesus and by the Holy Ghost to change the world, because they reproduced after their own kind when they were empowered by the Spirit of Almighty God. And finally, birth truth to the next generation. In the name of Jesus, birth truth to the next generation. Do not bring back the past. Tell them who they are now. Tell them the freedom that Jesus brings. Don't keep taking people backwards. How can we go backwards if we're going to go forward? Go forward by the Spirit and leave the past in the past and declare who they are right here, right now. Tell them they have a purpose. Tell them they have a destiny. Speak the truth into their spirit. Awaken them to the truth of Jesus Christ. Reproduce the way you love God. And if you don't love God, get yourself on your knees and ask for forgiveness right now, because God is not the one you need to fear. You need to honor, you need to reverence Him, but you need to fear what you have allowed in your heart that is not of Him. Because that will cause you to make the wrong choices. Only God can turn this around, but we have Him. We can call upon Lord Sabaoth. We can call upon Him who is mighty in battle, and He will do this battle for us, and we will win this war. Amen. And so, can we discuss the good and the bad of America? Yes. But let's look at the bigger picture. Can we discuss the good and bad of Christianity and still choose Christ? Can we look at all of the things that have been done in the name of Christianity and realize horrible things were done in the name of Christ? But can we, as a people who have fallen in love with him and know his character and trust him with all that we are, can we reproduce that into the next generation instead of talking about what the sins of our fathers were, talk about what the successes of our fathers were, and talk about who you are and what you're going to do and what you're going to do, because God has called you into the future to be the person who knows who they are and that they can do exploits in the name of the Lord. God is bringing forth an army, and it's a new army with different weaponry. He is bringing forth those who will war after the things of the Spirit and birth the things that are needed on the earth right now. And they are not going to be from the natural realm. They are going to be from his kingdom coming to earth through people who know who their kings are, their king is, and will do his exploits, not their own. Okay, amen. This is the way it is. Done gave birth to that now. You see, truth, when it is spoken, has the ability to cut between the soul and the spirit. Now, you supposed to adopt somebody? That's what they did. Are you supposed to reproduce? I don't know what you're called to do, but I know the one who knows who has called you. And he's called you to do something. And the one thing across the board we know is he's called you to reproduce Christians. He's called you to reproduce his attributes. He's called you to reproduce righteousness. And so let the prayers pray. And let us go into the house of the Lord and do our job, which is not just to discuss, but it is to hear from heaven and let him bring forth that which he has already seen come in this time frame of history, to bring forth the greatest ushering in of souls that the world has ever seen. So be it. Come, Lord Jesus, come.